And good Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to the Awakening. And as you just heard, filling in until our new host comes along, Todd Herman will be starting here on, 12, 13, 14 of this month, Monday the 14th. So we look forward to Todd. I have exchanged a couple of emails with him. I think he's vacationing this week, getting ready to make his debut here at American Family Radio. You are going to enjoy Todd. Just comes with a vast amount of experience, filled in for Rush Limbaugh from time to time. So we're talking about that kind of caliber, folks. And from a Christian perspective, the news of the day, you're going to have a great time. We've been so blessed. Bishop E.W. Jackson, not here. Just in case you haven't heard, Bishop E.W. Jackson had to step aside because he announced he's running for president of the United States. So I've been filling in a few days here and there. We had Sandy filling in a few days. Alex McFarland yesterday, and Alex will be back in tomorrow. So it takes two or three of us to fill in for the regulars here, but we enjoy doing it. All right, big news of the day. Are you really surprised? The Biden Justice Department, with the latest indictment against former President Donald Trump, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at the timing. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. You know, I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning. It's very interesting as they've been reviewing this indictment. There's no evidence linking Mr. Trump to the Oath Keepers or the Proud Boys who were part of the riot, and members of that have been charged and sentenced, some of them to several years in prison. There's nothing in the indictment about that. The basic crux of the indictment is this. Former President Trump did not like the results of the 2020 election. He talked to various people who said there was fraud involved in some locations. He asked people to investigate that fraud. But now Special Counsel Jack Smith says, this is terrible, what the former president did. And so we're going to indict him. Yeah, even the Justice Department and our own Aim Hamilton was pointing this out on his program yesterday. Even the Justice Department admits there was some fraud in some places. So you have a former president, and yes, maybe some of the claims that he made, some people can agree was overdone. But a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, the former president, and as president, he was still president at the time when he was asking for these investigations. He is allowed to do that as a president, but also there's the issue of free speech. Even if it's proven later that he deliberately lied, there's still free speech allowed in this country. And that's basically what it comes down to, folks, is the issue of free speech. But and Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, Republican from Arkansas, he was looking at the indictment. And he certainly agrees that nothing that Trump did violates the Constitution. Cut number one.
These are all constitutionally protected activities in which former President Trump engaged, political activities and free speech protected by the First Amendment. You don't have to agree with him. You don't have to think he was right. But I don't see how these charges can go forward without a serious constitutional challenge from the former president.
And here's the issue, too, and the Wall Street Journal points this out in its editorial this morning. It says what the Biden Justice Department has done in issuing these indictments yesterday against the former president, it potentially criminalizes many kinds of actions and statements by a president that a prosecutor deems to be false. You don't have to be a defender of Donald Trump, it says, to worry about where this will lead. It makes any future election challenges, however valid, legally vulnerable to a partisan prosecutor. And it might have criminalized the actions by Al Gore and George W. Bush to contest the Florida election result in 2000. You remember that? It happens, folks. Hillary Clinton didn't like the results of the 2016 election. She spoke openly about that, that Donald Trump was an invalid president. We had a Justice Department that turned against Donald Trump. Remember the Russia collusion investigation? So it happens. It's part of the chemistry sometimes, especially in the day and age in which we live. But I wanted to mention a little bit about the sequence of events here. Let's just review what has happened involving the Biden Justice Department in recent days. You had the IRS whistleblowers coming out and testifying that they were curtailed in their investigation of Hunter Biden, even to the point, at one point, these IRS whistleblowers who were investigating Hunter Biden not paying his taxes, among other things, that the Biden Justice Department notified Hunter Biden's lawyers that the IRS investigators were going into a building to look for paperwork to justify their investigation. Think about this. The Biden Justice Department calls Hunter Biden's lawyers and say, hey, by the way, the IRS is heading over to this storage place. Think about that. And then you have the federal judge recently who put a stop to that sweetheart deal that Hunter Biden lawyers had worked out with the Biden Justice Department. Thank God for that federal judge, because way down in this sweetheart deal was a statement that if she agreed to this sweetheart deal, which kept Hunter Biden out of prison, slap on the hand for not paying taxes and lying on a gun application, way down in that deal was, if she agreed to it, then Hunter Biden was going to be exempt from any further investigations. Even though the Justice Department had to admit in that courtroom there were other investigations going on. And that federal judge said, wait a minute, if I agree to this, all that Hunter Biden has to do is double jeopardy. You cannot. And by the way, you agreed, federal judge, to this. And then there was the Devin Archer deposition just Monday of this week, 48 hours ago. Devin Archer, former business partner of Hunter Biden, the most explosive thing coming out of that, he confirmed that Joe Biden, despite what Joe Biden has been telling people for the last several years, knew a whole lot about his son's business dealings. In fact, Devin Archer testified in that deposition under oath that in at least 20 occasions when Hunter Biden was on the phone with Ukrainian officials and Chinese officials, that his dad was on the phone being part of that conversation at least 20 times. So that's Monday of this week. Less than 24 hours later, the Biden Justice Department issues the indictment against Donald Trump. Hey, listen, if you want to give the big story about Hunter Biden off the news front pages, what do you do? Come on, they knew this was happening. They were waiting for this opportune time to do this. Listen, folks, that is what's going on here. I'm not the first to say this either. Chris Swecker, who's a former FBI assistant director, noting that every time Hunter is in the news, Trump gets indicted. Talk about a double standard. Cut three.
It's hard not to conclude that when you see that, you know, there are three occasions where things with Hunter Biden have flared up, in this case, the Devin Archer testimony. And on each occasion, the next day, a new indictment is unveiled, or a superseding indictment is unveiled. I mean, it's hard not to come to the conclusion that Jack Smith is nothing but a political operative here. And, I don't say that lightly. You know, I'd like to think that the justice, the criminal justice system works the way it's intended to. But when you put an ideologue in a position like that of power, then justice is subverted. And I think that's what's happening here. And again, I'm not defending President Trump. He did some very unwise things. But this is not how the criminal justice system is supposed to work. And where the heck was the FBI? Why didn't they do grand jury? Why didn't they use all the techniques that they used against Trump on Hunter Biden and right. Joe Biden? I could go through the whole case and make a case for bribery.
All right, there you have it. Chris Swecker making some very good points there. Talk about double standard. We know it's been going on. All right, listen, much more ahead. Trump has to appear before an Obama-appointed judge in this case. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about her history when we come back on this Wednesday edition of The Awakening. Don't go away. Much more ahead.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The business world has seen a reverse migration from Zoom to the conference room. Employers may love working from home, but there is growing evidence that productivity drops when people work from their dining table or home office. We all know the benefits of remote working. You spend less time commuting. You can take a short nap or a mid-morning run. You can fit in several commitments from carpool to doctor's appointments. During the pandemic and lockdowns, a few surveys found that workers reported higher levels of satisfaction and happiness. Those may be the positive aspects of working from home, but more and more companies are calling their employees back to the office. Even the notoriously flexible big tech companies want employees to show up at least 2 or 3 days a week. The reason for the callback is productivity. A study reported in The Economist illustrates the change in perspective. A study done by 2 Harvard University doctoral students originally found an 8% increase in the number of calls handled per hour by employees of an online retailer that had shifted from offices to homes. But a revised version of the paper changed that estimate to a 4% decline. The researchers had not made a mistake. As they received more precise data, they found that the employees answered fewer calls and put customers on hold for longer. Another study done by researchers at MIT and UCLA concluded workers at home were 18% less productive, and a research study by the University of Essex found a 19% drop in productivity. What is lost is face-to-face communication, human interaction, and team building, and it's easy to see why more and more companies are summoning their workers back to the office. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Socialism, go to viewpoints.info/socialism. That's viewpoints.info/socialism.
Welcome to Apologetics with Reasons for Hope. We love working with youth. When you see their eyes spread wide open in excitement as they get answers to the questions they're being confronted with, and they hear the great reasons for hope in their Christian worldview, it's a game changer. Unfortunately, too many parents tell us they feel ill-equipped to have these types of conversations with their children. So, we want to tell you about a free app. You'll find hours of videos on there that run from teaching to encouraging, 30 seconds to an hour long. We upload a new video every day of the week. There's even a children's section featuring art classes from our amazing artist, Dan Letha. Just search for Reasons for Hope on your App Store, download this amazing tool, and put it to use. This resource will help you start conversations around the dinner table where you'll get the chance to see your children's eyes spread wide open for yourself. We'll talk about how you can be the hero in your child's story next time. Until then, for more resources, go to hopetools.net and stay bold.
And we are back to this Wednesday edition of The Awakening. Fred Jackson sitting in today. We're talking about the latest from the Biden Justice Department, the indictments against former President Trump, another set of indictments. These dealing with his challenge to the election results in 2020. And, basically you have a attorney general appointed special prosecutor saying what Donald Trump said and did in questioning and challenging the results, that those are indictable offenses. There is nothing, we are told, in the indictment. I haven't read it myself, but looking at some people and listening to some people who have read it, there's apparently nothing in the indictment about Trump being responsible for the January 6th riot. So they're not trying to link to that in these indictments. And what many people are saying when they look at this, when they look at this indictment is, it's a lot about what the former president said and asked for investigations into fraud. And a lot of people are saying that is not a crime. Listening to Jonathan Turley, who is a constitutional expert, Fox News uses him quite a bit. I believe he's a professor at George Washington University. And he says it's just not there. This is going to come down to whether a former president, while he was still president, remember, when he was challenging this, has a constitutional right to do that and has a constitutional right to express an opinion on the results. Now, part two of this story today, you may not have heard this yet, is the U.S. District Judge who is going to be hearing this case. Her name is Tanya Chutkan, C-H-U-T-K-A-N. She's a former assistant public defender who was nominated to the bench by President Barack Obama. She has been responsible for a lot of those people who were indicted, who were part of that riot at the Capitol on January the 6th. Now, I'm reading here from an Associated Press story. All right, Associated Press, no friend of the former president. Says she's often handed down prison sentences in the January 6, 2021 riot cases that are harsher than what the Justice Department prosecutors recommended. So the prosecution comes in and recommends a sentence. She ups it, putting many of these people in prison for a long period of time. She is, in fact, sentenced at least 38 people who were convicted of the Capitol riot-related crimes. All 38 received prison terms ranging from 10 days to over 5 years. And here's something else. And this is really interesting. She has taken a total different point of view when it comes to those involved with the riots in the wake of the George Floyd death. By the way, she called it George Floyd's murder. Okay, he was not murdered. He died. It was tragic in the encounter with police, but that's not a murder. Here's what she had to say about those people. And you remember the video of those riots, folks. Buildings were burnt down. There was looting. Police cars were destroyed. There was a federal office, I believe, in either Seattle, Washington, or Portland, Oregon, that was attacked. But here's what she said. People gathered all over the country to protest the violent murder by the police of an unarmed man. Some of these protesters became violent. But to compare the actions of people protesting mostly peacefully for civil rights to those of a, I'm quoting here from her, a violent mob seeking to overthrow the lawfully elected government is a false equivalency and ignores a very real danger that the January 6th riot posed to the foundation of our democracy. So there you have it. She's throwing people in prison for up to 5 years for what they did at the Capitol. But those riots, and many of them were every bit as violent, even more so in destruction of property and attacks on police officers, she says, well, kind of they had a justified reason. This is the judge that has been chosen to oversee when former President Trump is held for trial. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney General Nathan Huckman talks about this activist-appointed judge that will be handling the Trump January 6th trial. Cut number five.
This judge, whether she has predisposed notions of how this case should play out or not, will be tested by President Trump's lawyers, I'm sure very vigorously. They'll be looking for any types of conflict of interest that this judge has ahead of time that might disqualify her. But this judge will actually be getting, my guess is, a barrage of pretrial motions to decide that'll be key to see how this trial plays out, including the date of the trial. Because this judge could easily decide that this trial requires a huge amount of preparation. I would imagine that the government's discovery could number in the hundreds of thousands or millions of pages, depending on how much of the evidence of the January 6th commission is turned over.
All right, there you have it. So it's kind of the double challenge of the indictments and then the judge that's going to hear about this. Yes, there will be petitions perhaps for change of venue. But, you know, even if it's a change of judges, the judges in Washington, D.C., in that district, have a reputation. Let's put it that way. So we'll have to wait and see what happens as they go forward. But I think the first challenge may be a constitutional one. After the challenge about this judge, and she certainly has a record, even with Donald Trump in some other cases. But what happens when they make that petition for at least a change in judges, we'll have to wait and see. It's been interesting, the reaction inside the Republican camp, those who are challenging President Trump for the 2024. Vivek Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis basically saying that, listen, We're challenging the former president, but what's going on here is not right. And Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, basically saying there's got to be a cleaning of house in the Justice Department, the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. They don't necessarily agree with what the former president did, but what the Justice Department is doing is what they are taking issue with. I was a little disappointed in what the comments made by former Vice President Pence. He went on the attack against his former boss, that basically he said that Donald Trump has proven himself unfit to be president of the United States. Now, I know those two gentlemen have a very bitter relationship in the wake of what happened with the election. I understand that. But I was a little disappointed. Also, Asa Hutchinson, former governor of Arkansas, also went on the attack, saying this proves that Donald Trump is not fit to be president. So there you have it. Kentucky Congressman James Comer actually believes, and this is going to be another chapter in this story, saying every indictment helps Trump in the polls and fundraising. So let's have a listen to what his assessment on that front, and we'll come back and talk about that a little bit.
I think that every time Donald Trump gets indicted from this point on, he's going to see a bump in the polls. He's going to see an increase in fundraising. And I think what Jack Smith's doing is having unintended consequences for what their ultimate goal is, and that's to take Donald Trump out.
Yeah, and there may be some debate on that, but I think it's right. Recent history has shown that every time that Donald Trump, first New York, then we have Mar-a-Lago, and now January 6th, and there is another one pending in Georgia, a possible indictment against the former president. But every time that has happened, all the polls, whether it's a liberal journalistic source, whatever the case may be, all the polls show Donald Trump going up in the polls and distancing himself from everybody else who's running against him. The governor of Florida is still a distant second, and the rest are pretty well in single digits behind him. So this kind of challenges from the Biden Justice Department seem to help the former president. And I expect this is what's going to happen in this case as well. He is viewed by his supporters as being under persecution. Number one, they believe that there was extensive fraud in the 2020 election, that it was stolen from the former president. They believe that. And they believe he deserves another term of office. And there's also the fact that more and more people say, because of what the Biden Justice Department is doing, that they believe that this president is being, or the former president is being persecuted. So there's that. On top of that, they are seeing how Biden is being treated. Hunter Biden is being treated. They're seeing how President Biden is being treated. Remember, the current president also has been found to have classified documents in several locations, including his garage at a Delaware home. Tell me, have you heard anything about that investigation from the Biden Justice Department? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What has happened? Well, you know, all of that chemistry together, and you could see how this could actually help the former president, Donald Trump, in all of this. But also the American people are seeing firsthand a very corrupt Biden Justice Department who's all in on persecuting the former president and conservatives. It goes beyond that. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. You're the jury. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I went into a business to see a buddy of mine not long ago. While I was talking with him, I noticed a rock about the size of my fist on a counter. On the rock was written the words, Number One. Now, I was curious as to what those words meant. I tried to figure it out, but finally gave up and asked my friend about the meaning. He told me it was the first stone. I was still puzzled by it all and was racking my brain to tie together the significance. Then he told me the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery who was brought to Jesus. The law required that the woman be stoned to death. Stoning was the Jewish method of execution. Those in the crowd asked Jesus what to do with the woman. Their desire was to stone her. Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dirt. Then he looked up and answered them, Let the person among you who is without sin throw the first stone. Well, one by one, they all walked away. Then Jesus forgave the woman and told her not to sin again. The first stone. You know, it might not be a bad idea if we all had a first stone lying around close to remind us of our need to forgive. It's awfully easy sometimes to see the other person's sin while ignoring our own. Too often we can get so pious and perfect that it causes us to look down on another in scorn and shame. When we get to be that holy, we're too holy. There was always in the heart of the Galilean a spot reserved for forgiveness and compassion. A wise person once said upon seeing another in a very bad condition, There, except by the grace of God, am I. We're taught to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. In other words, our forgiveness depends on our forgiving. If we can't forgive, then don't expect any forgiveness. It takes no special talent to forgive. You don't have to have the mind of a genius. Only a loving and compassionate heart. And that comes from attitude and practice, not from great knowledge. Let the person among you who is without sin throw the first stone. It's good to remember that when we are ready to condemn another. For it's so easy to do, this casting of stones, and often so tempting. I think I'm going to get a rock and put it on my desk. On it, I will write the first stone. Then, when I'm inclined to throw verbal stones at another who has done wrong, I'll look at that stone and recall the story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. I will remember the forgiveness and compassion he had for someone who had done wrong and was sorry. One stone is all I need, for there's no danger I'll ever use it. You see, I don't qualify.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. We're going to go to our phones, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, talking about the latest indictments against former President Donald Trump by a Justice Department, which I think if people are being honest, is pretty well banked. Not only, as I was mentioning, not only against the former president, but conservatives in general. We have seen how the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, treated parents who showed up at school board meetings. We have seen how this Justice Department went after the pro-life activists there in Pennsylvania. Showed up, 12 armed FBI agents at his home to arrest him like he was a terrorist. So it's not just this incident. It is a building number of examples of a Justice Department that has become extremely politicized. And I think, and this is not an original thought at all, many people have noticed this, even when Donald Trump was elected, we know what happened. The deep state was so deep that the FBI already politicized because of the way they let Hillary Clinton off from her server at her home that was kept there. They said there was nothing there to warrant any charges against her. but then turned against Donald Trump when he became president. So this is going on for years, and this indictment announced yesterday from the Justice Department is just the latest chapter. So before we go to our phones, sometimes it's good to have some good news to counterbalance everything. And in this case, it involves Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, who yesterday signed a Women's Bill of Rights into law.
By defining what a woman is, it's even weird to say that we have to do this in today's age. But when I saw what was happening in other states, biological males being put into women's prisons, women's shelters, women's locker rooms, that's nonsense. And I have so many girls calling me and thanking me for taking a stand. I mean, I signed the Save Women in Sports bill. I'm such a fan of Riley and all she's doing. But to us, it's just common sense that we have to do this to define what a woman is, to protect women. 50 years ago, Title IX was signed. Now it feels like the left is trying to erode that.
Isn't it amazing, and the governor is pointing this out, that we have to have an executive order to define what a woman is, to define what a man is, to protect girls so they have privacy in their bathrooms, in their change rooms, that we have to pass a law to protect them. You know, it really does irk me when I see the and listen to Democrats who say, you know, we're here fighting for women's rights. No, you're not. You're jeopardizing the safety of women. And I think there is going to be a backlash. I think there are Democrat moms, independent moms, that are going to join with Republican moms and say, enough. And dads, enough. We're going to protect our daughters. You know, the governor, Governor Stitt, mentioned Riley Gaines. She has become a champion for women's rights. She's the one that's been persecuted because of so-called Leah Thomas, who's really a boy, swimming against her. It's just been terrible. But she is out there, and she is like an evangelist on this, and the fervor of an evangelist standing up for women's rights. Cut nine.
The amount of emotional blackmail that our universities, and this is bigger than universities, that we're seeing in academia, it's in corporate America, it's in the media, the amount of emotional blackmail they put us through to keep us silent. And it was effective. They told us we wouldn't get a job, we wouldn't get into grad school, we would lose our friends, we would lose our scholarship. They told us that we would be murderers if we spoke out because we would be complicit in a potential death. That's how they kept us silent. And the conversations that I had with those girls on that pool deck, with girls, parents, coaches, medical professionals across the country, they feel the exact same way I do. And it's not because they're a Republican. It's because they have common sense.
Yeah, common sense. Seems to be a great shortage of that today. But not only that, it's part of a left-wing political agenda. Let's be honest. And shame on universities who have been willing to go along with this nonsense, jeopardizing the safety of girls. And, you know, mom, dad, university year is about to start. You better be checking these things out. If you have a young daughter that's going in as a freshman, you better be checking these things out as to where universities stand on this. Because I think this battle is just beginning, and you need to know where your university, your college stands on these issues. All right, let's go to our phones to Cynthia in Oklahoma. Welcome, Cynthia. I'm told you're a first-time caller.
Hey, yes, I am. I didn't expect to get in, but I'm excited. I would just like to make a comment about what you were talking about, the persecution of Donald Trump. So it just makes his supporters and just American citizens look and see every time they bring up something else, they're trying to makes you wonder what are they trying to cover up. So I do agree that it's only strengthened him. So the more they bring up that, you know, because they're trying to take him out because he is the strongest candidate. And we were thriving 4 years ago. And now everybody is paycheck to paycheck. And it's just the struggles. So it's obvious to everybody, and any American citizen that denies that, they're just lying. So it has impacted everybody, not only, you know, Democrat, Independent, Republican. It don't matter your political affiliation. You're a human being, and American citizen has impacted everybody.
Yeah, Cynthia, you're exactly right. Appreciate your call. Good job. expressing your opinion there. I tell you what, this election, and we don't know who's going to be at the top of the ticket yet. It could well be the former president. But if it's a DeSantis or someone else in that large pack now that's running on the Republican side, there's got to be a change in this country. There's got to be a return to what most of us understand to be equal justice for all. And that's not happening. That the conservative point of view, conservative causes are being demonized by this Justice Department. And I'm not saying, for instance, that all of those who have been indicted and sentenced with regards to January 6th, that they're all innocent. But I think people are making a comparison with what happened with the anti-police riots and what happened there and the difference in treatment. People are starting to understand that we have a politicized Justice Department. This is the kind of thing that happens in third world countries, folks. A politicized Justice Department that silences any political view that goes against them, that goes against their narrative, against their worldview. And I think that's going to be a major issue regardless of who is on the top of the ticket for the Republicans. Jeanette in Louisiana, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hello. I just want to say that I'm happy that you all have a program I do support because you all let people speak. You know, it's free speech. You don't condemn them. My President Trump, he does not hate anyone. He loves everyone. He hates the sin. And this system that's up here that's constantly bringing charges against him is one-sided. The former president, Hillary, not that ran for it, and President Obama did so much evil, and Clinton. They never got the persecution that President Trump is getting.
That's right.
Never. Mm-hmm. Never.
You're exactly right. I appreciate that, Jeanette. And the other part of the problem, and if you've listened to me over the years, is we have a mainstream media that's gone rogue as well. You have a mainstream media that's they're basically no better than lapdogs for Democrats and the Biden administration. It is scandalous. When I look at the coverage, for example, of the Associated Press of all of this, they were doing a profile on Jill Biden the other day on her exercise routine. But when it comes to Melania Trump or a conservative female woman, it's finding something wrong. That's just one example, folks. So I think Americans now understand where we are at this point in our history. We have a politicized justice system. We have a mainstream media. And quite frankly, they're all in on socialism. An education system that's all in on socialism. But you know what? People are fighting back. And we're seeing this. We saw it in Virginia a few years ago with a change of government there. Seeing it in Florida. Seeing it in Arkansas and other states. And there is a divide in this country. And that's going to be the big issue in 24. 888-589-8840. We'll be back to have a listen to you here on this Wednesday edition of The Awakening. Don't go away.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Some Christians have become desensitized to the simple gospel. While we're busy by waiting on miracles, we're missing out on simply knowing Jesus. When our relationship with Him looks more like a to-do list, we're depriving ourselves of freedom. Let's be more mindful of the presence of God in the mundane. Let's just love Jesus and let Him love us back.
To read the full blog, The Simple Gospel by Lauren Bragg, visit afa.net/thestand.
afa.net/thestand.
Hey, this is Brant along with Sherry here. And so you hear me doing these spots for MediShare, and Sherry actually helps me with them. I get people actually in person saying, okay, Brant, for real, do you recommend this? Like, yeah, for real, I actually do. I'm not just saying stuff. So family, friends ask me about it. I'm like, yes, you should look into this. It's really a great option for a lot of people.
That's what I tell people. My experience has been, MediShare has been fantastic for me.
Yeah.
It's so different from health insurance in a lot of great ways, honestly.
Yeah, and see, a lot of people who've switched tell me that. It's the same reaction. They're very, very happy with it, and it gives them peace of mind and saves them a lot of money.
I would tell people, look into it.
Yep. So really, for reals, if you want to talk to them, they're great to talk to. I think you'll be impressed and happy you looked into it. So you do the phone number. I'm actually tired of doing all the phone numbers.
Okay.
Call now.
833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Nice job.
Thanks.
A big part of people who've gone through divorce, they tend to maybe try to fill in the pain with something else as quickly as they can because they want the pain to go away. Which, yeah, I get that. On the other hand, if you don't deal with your pain, it will come back and bite you eventually.
It's crucial to look for and find forgiveness and healing after divorce, as Gil Stewart shares on this Focus on the Family Minute.
And so there were things that I needed to do with regards to my own heart to know myself so that when I did go into a new relationship, Lord willing, that I had done my work, that I had repented of things that I had missed. But at the same time, strengthening those things. There was a real process of healing there that I really had to kind of get my heart back. And a lot of that was done through a process of just forgiving not only my ex-wife, but myself.
You can hear more from Gil and Brenda Stewart about relational healing when you stop by FamilyMinute.org.
And welcome back to The Awakening for Jackson sitting in today. As we await the start of our brand new host in this slot, Todd Herman, be joining us on the 14th of this month, Monday the 14th, and you're going to enjoy Todd, just a guy with a lot of experience in the radio business, but most importantly, a dedicated Christian. So we look forward to him joining the team here at American Family Radio. You are going to enjoy it. All right, let's get back to our phones to Mike in West Virginia. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
You know, if they keep it up, they're going to indict President Trump enough to get him reelected, and then he's going to fill up the jails with Department of Justice employees.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I think the Biden team is underestimating the support that Donald Trump has across this country. You know, there was an interesting poll. It was published in the New York Times. Thanks for your call, Mike. It was published in the New York Times yesterday, and it showed, this is New York Times, liberal New York Times, who did the polling. It showed that first of all, that Biden only has a 39% approval rating across the country. All right? 39. So despite him bragging about what great things he's doing for the economy, the American people aren't buying it. But almost important was a dead heat that Biden is facing now with Donald Trump if the election were held today. And I think it's only going to get worse because that poll was done before the revelation that came earlier this week from Devin Archer, former business partner of Hunter Biden, who said that Joe Biden was on the phone at least 20 times when Hunter Biden was negotiating these deals with the Ukrainians and with the Chinese. So we now know that Joe Biden was lying to the American public when he said he didn't know anything about his son's businesses. That has been proven a bold-faced lie. So all of this is coming into play, not to mention the effect of what's happening in our economy. The Fitch rating system today downgraded basically the trust it has in the American economy and what's going on. And that's going to have an impact on interest rates, not to mention the fact of what's going on right now within, I don't know if you've noticed gas prices lately. In our market, it's gone up about 40 cents in the last 2.5 weeks in some locations. and that's going to have an impact, as I've mentioned before, on your groceries, etc., because your groceries have to be shipped in trucks that use fuel. Bottom line. So the economy is not doing well, and as a well-known Democrat activist said way back several years ago, what are elections all about? It's about the economy, stupid. So all of that is going to come into play, I believe. All right, to Texas, College Station, and we say good afternoon to Jerry.
Hey, brother, thanks. Just real quick, everybody's already saying, I'm not going to harp on it too much. I mean, if they keep, like the last one said, if they keep indicting him, all they're doing is spiking his polls. And the people I talk to in College Station that lean center or center left, they're like, what did he do that's so bad that they want to keep doing this? And they're pushing those center to center left more to the right.
Yeah.
And they're like, something's going on if they keep doing this to just get him out. And people are waking up. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm going to let you go because Everybody's saying the same thing. And all of the listening audience that listen to any one of these shows, very intelligent people. All right, brother, have a good day.
All right, take care, Jerry. Yeah, Jerry makes a good point. This election, the country's badly divided. That's why independents are likely going to decide this next election. And there's been a big movement in this country of independents towards the Republican Party. They may not have decided who they want at the top of the ticket yet, but there's a movement to the Republican Party. This New York Times story yesterday also made mention of a movement among Hispanics towards the Republican Party. And you say, well, what's happening there? Well, I tell you what, the open border policy of the Biden administration is not working. You've got many good, solid Hispanic citizens in this country who have worked hard, continue to work hard, building businesses, and they resent what Joe Biden has been doing on our southern border. And so they're moving towards. Also, there are some who believe that amongst the African-American population, a lot of African-American males are moving in the direction of the Republican Party. And the African-American vote is something that the Democrat Party depends on. So there's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of moving parts. We're still over a year away from that 24 election. Much can happen. But if current trends continue, you could see quite a change. To Texas, let's stay in Texas. And Phil's on the line. Go ahead, Phil. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I just want to thank you for what you said earlier about the thing with the women in sports and all the outrageous stuff that's being done against women. They say they're trying to support them, but they're not, so I appreciate what you're saying. I also want to tell you that I really enjoy you being on that program. I kind of wish you were going to be taking this over.
Well, they're not going to get rid of me. I'll be revolving through here from time to time, I'm sure. I have another job here. A lot of people may not realize I'm the news director here, so they keep me busy on that front. So, but okay. I enjoy filling in on these programs because I get to talk to great folks like you, Phil.
Well, good. And one last thing, I noticed, and you're not the only one that says, even Bishop Jackson would say this, and I have the utmost respect for him too. But a lot of times when they're talking about something that's really perfectly horrible, they'll say, talk about this nonsense. And that's what you said, too, earlier about this women stuff. And I agree with you that it is nonsense, but I think we need to call it out for what it is. It is really evil. Nonsense is one thing, but that's too – I think you're being too kind. Mm-hmm. We need to call it out for what it is. It is evil what's going on in some of these situations.
Yeah, evil nonsense. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Phil.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's because it's evil, you know?
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much. Let us go back to Louisiana again. Cornelius, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm one of those African-Americans that left the Democratic Party and joined the Republican Party because of President Trump, just like Jeanette, and she's in Alexandria, too.
Mm.
I'm a big Trump supporter. A lot of these rappers and stuff, they see what they're doing to Joe Biden. I mean, not Joe Biden, but Hunter Biden. And even the FBI, not the FBI, but the IRS whistleblower was on Stracanis on CNN this weekend. And he said, even though he's a homosexual and a Democrat, that he believed in fair play and everything, and what they did to take them off that case. So I'm hoping this, and that's a Democratic judge that ruled against that deal and everything. So I'm hoping in the next 30 days, maybe he'll go to trial and stuff. But a lot of black rappers and stuff, they're really upset because they get these gun charges and these IRS charges, and they stick. So I hope and pray people will wake up and see that Trump's right. My dad was a Korean War vet that died of COVID-19, the communist Chinese virus, and President Trump wrote him right before he died. So
wow.
President Trump's no racist or anything. God bless you, and thank you so much.
All right, Cordelius. Great calls, folks. I appreciate hearing from you. This is a lot of fun hearing from our listeners. You know, we get we stay in these studios and we have our microphone and a couple of other folks, and but it's a real joy to hear from you, and we're in this together, aren't we? This is a battle. It's all about spiritual warfare, and we got to have to keep that in mind. Not that God is a Republican; he doesn't pick parties, but what he does is look at the hearts of people. And I think right now what we have in this country is great spirits. And it's not just political parties we're talking about. As we talked about before, it's the media, it's an education system that has rebelled against godly standards. And sadly, we're aware even some Christian, what they call Christian denominations, have rebelled against God. So it is a spiritual warfare on many fronts, and we need to keep that in mind. Oren, go ahead. Louisiana, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
Yeah, I was calling about you know the way they're going after conservatives in any way they can, whether it's with the Justice Department. You look at the way they're attacking parents and school boards, and the way they're going after Trump, which really is an attack on the American people. But it reminds me of when Ahab was king of Israel, you know?
Yep. Go ahead. That's it's the very same thing. It's,
yes.
You know,
yes, it is. Evil is good. Mm-hmm. And right. God's righteousness is evil. And they're the way they're portraying it, you know?
Yeah. It's, as I say, it's spiritual warfare. But you know what? I think, too, and I appreciate you calling, Oren. I think what's going on here is when we talk about spiritual warfare, it makes people think, okay, what does Scripture say about these things? And Oren's reference to Scripture and what we see in the Old Testament, when in Israel and Judah, you had good kings and you had bad kings, and what happens? And it doesn't always happen overnight. The bad kings come along, and God was patient. They knew what was right and wrong. He gave them time to repent, and when they didn't, judgment came. The flip side of that is when you had a good king. He comes along, he does good things, and God blesses and protects that country against its enemies. So we have historical evidence that we need to abide by God's word. We need to be in God's word. Amen. All right, stay tuned for much more great programming here on American Family Radio. Been a delight to be with you today. Lord willing, be back on Friday once again. My thanks to Mark and Robert for helping me out today. Really appreciate their help. And as I say, just stay tuned. We're here with you to fight the battle, the spiritual warfare. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.